Good morning, friends. Good morning. It's the 27th of October, 6:30 a.m. in Australia, and you are listening to Rolly's Banana Republic, and I'm hoping I've got my volumes right. We have just finished listening to Fogg's show. It was fantastic and very interesting. And let me get rid of this echo. Yeah, so actually, I think where you guys are, or at least in UTC land, it is a different time. I think it might be 8:30 in the evening. I'm not sure, I should check the schedule. Nonetheless, it's Sunday here, the 27th of October in the year 2024. And prior to F. Fogg's show, we were, that's quite rude of me to just say F. Fogg's show. Let's just see what the schedule says. The margin. So thank you for the margin, and thank you for always having an interesting lineup. I do wish, I'd love it if you chatted sometimes. And yeah, prior to that, we had Tobe, who described his events and his recent escapades in live shows and meeting artists and foraging the forest for mushrooms and squirrels and mutties. Although there were no mutties today, and I don't think there were any owls. And prior to that, we listened to Publius, who I thoroughly enjoy listening to, and is very often the reason I wake up early and listen to his show. Not only because it's interesting, but because he is interesting. As are so many people on and on radio. You have me, who just hovers on the side and wanders in and out of rooms occasionally. And then you have Stokesauce, who does a reliable show when he does it. And therein, it's not reliable because we never know when he's going to do one. And half his battle is forgetting when his day is, which was a topic that Tobe touched on. Artists do not have very good concepts of time. Yesterday I did a park run, and I was very pleased to get under 30 minutes out of 29:30 for 5 kilometers, and I've been working quite hard to get there. Not that hard, but a bit more consistently in turning up to my park runs and taking friends with me. And so I've got several people to join me and be interested in the park runs, and not only for company, but I suppose for their own health, etc. Right, so what have I got? I'm gonna play after the run. We went out to eat, myself and Scott, and after that I went to his house, and he insisted on cleaning my car, and I'm obviously thankful for that. There's nothing wrong with fixing my car, because the front bumper had dislodged, because it's quite low in the profile on the front, and if you go to into a parking space, it touches the curbside sometimes if you're front end. And when you reverse, it hooks on and pulls out, and it's done this several times, and it's an older car. Not that old, but it's old enough to be rickety. And he very kindly Sikuflexed or siliconed and screwed it in, and looks perfect. It looks mint. And I'm not sure if we did it before or after, but we had coffee and a chat, and this is an excerpt of our chat, so I hope you enjoy it. It's quite long, so I might have to edit sections out, depending on the sorts of things we talk about. But there were a few things I thought needed to come up, but I'll try and stop. Well, I will stop before then. There's nothing risque, nothing, just probably shouldn't go on air. And it's, but it's fun. And here it is. So take a chill back and listen. And I will press this button in a second, I think. Here it goes.
I knew you'd get eventually.
This last.
This is a challenge.
What is it?
Just watch.
Did it actually sell?
Oh, yeah, no, people make it. Use this box.
Isn't it for like 163?
The one with the hands the best. Where's the useless box? Yeah, this one with the cat. Salt's up, rubbery's up, car theft's up. It's good, right? More years, don't risk
it. What's there?
It just keeps digging. It also it gives you a random response sometimes. That's the original one. Useless box, idiot box. It's funny, huh?
It is.
The funny thing with it is, it's one of those sort of really clever binary conundrums. You know those, you know, like you think to switch the thing on is what activates the off switch, and it's clever. You wonder how much of that is based on, quite a quantifiable norm that you know, probably like a mortgage or a bank. You know, you're borrowing money to pay someone else to profit from your house that they will never own. You know, that kind of thing. You know, and it's but like they get paid first up. They get paid all the money in advance, and you pay for 30 years, and somebody else holds the debt. You know, it's just mad. There must be quite a lot of those sort of conundrums that have been built into.
I wonder what that was. Let's think of some more.
What are you thinking? If the ultimate is the insurance scheme. You know, if you think about it, it's essentially it's a Ponzi scheme. All insurance is just a Ponzi scheme, but a legal Ponzi scheme. So in other words, what you do is you aggregate the group's potential debt, and you mitigate it with risk factors, which are, well, if you're a good boy, then you won't have to pay for your residual on any claim. So as if you're not, and we'll reduce your fee every year by 0.00001%. So, but just so you know that you are covered in case a tree falls on your house. Yet the chances of a tree falling on your house are relatively nominal, so the bank always wins. Casino, same thing too. The law of averages, the machine will only pay out a percentage of the time, yet the casino always wins because you're always putting money on the table. Plenty of them, you know, and yet the odd one about it is traditionally so many of those bastions of that conundrum are the ones that are owned by the super wealthy or those who are able to figure it out years beforehand. I mean, insurance is a total rot. There's really no reason for insurance. You're better off to seriously actually put the same amount of money into a high yield account, and if you need it, use it, but you're always guaranteed potentially that you're going to get it back. It's probably a better investment.
You know, in a way, you could probably apply that rule to voting as well.
Conceivably, yeah. Yeah. I think you could apply it to a great many things. A great many things. Did you get your toast in there?
Yeah.
You did.
Got it.
The assumption is, and it's very much like Weinstein's comment, the assumption is that most people are ostensibly dumbed down by a great deal of over-information. Example, like, when was the last time you looked at your terms and conditions for your mortgage or your insurance policy?
Mm.
Most people won't, and most lawyers know you won't. So, therefore, they will regularly update them and change things, but as long as you aren't claiming, you'll never really know. So, in truth, there are any number of dynamics around, you know, bullshitting you or for intents and purposes, making you sign up. Another classic example, like, if I go to iTunes and I want to find my transactions or I want to cancel a subscription, they're putting various different gates along the way to make it hard for me that a percentage of the populace will actually just bow out because it's too hard.
It is too hard. I mean, you want to try your Audible account. That's even worse.
And they're designed to make it harder for a percentage. It's possible to do. It's like going through a maze. You can definitely get out of the maze. You can definitely get a solution. But if they make it hard for you, they know that a percentage, say 70% of the population, maybe 50 would be realistic, will bow out. They will go, oh, no, I forget it. It's not that bad anyway, so I'll just stick with it, you know?
I'm not going to go bankrupt paying this amount.
Yeah, I'm going to go bankrupt. But the other guys bank heavily off the fact that you won't read the intel.
Yeah.
And to a large degree, I guarantee almost every single person who subscribes to a contract, along the course of that contract, will be under duress for a couple of reasons. One is the contract changes every so often, and you're not aware of it, but it's mitigated against by the fact that really, it's not going to drive me bankrupt, like you said. It's the same thing happened, we said, about the Donald Trump effect the other day, where they were saying that the reason that Donald Trump won the last time, quite simply, is because no one thought he would. No one thought he would. No one thought they would vote for him.
It was a
shoehorn in for Hillary Clinton. And what they realized, and that illustrates how the deep state is true, is because the only way that he could have gotten in was via a landslide or interference. And that's where the Mullard, Mulder report, whatever it is, where they basically tried to prove that the Russians were colluding with him to conspire to win the election. And what they did get out of it is the Russians definitely did collude to some degree, but not definitively that it would bias him.
Not overriding
him. Yeah, and it would not that it exclusively would benefit him, but they definitely influenced in the elections. So then they go, oh yeah, definitely Trump is guilty. And they go, well, hang on a second, that's not what the report said. But that's the same thing in the media, that what happens is someone says, computer said yes, so therefore that's 100% of the truth. It's not. It's only a percentage of the truth.
Look, another area that's really questionable is these frictionless transactions, where you just sign up and your money, you know, you just pay with it, or you walk past.
That's not good. Mine doesn't do it. I have never had a pay wave. The only one I have is a credit card, and I don't ever use the credit card, and I don't get anywhere near the thing. But I think a lot of that happens here. I think they are different, and I think it's part of the reason why they have given you the automatic below $100 credit on it. So as technically, I can only draw $100 on it, because they know to a degree it's actually going to bolster the economy anyway. In other words, it covers the latent insurance around those fraudulent claims.
I want to know something, though. How did we get sucked into? How is it that the rest of the world are interested in what's going on in the US elections?
Interested in what, sorry?
How is it that the rest of the world is interested in the US elections when it affects us zero? We can't do anything about it.
I think it affects...
Why do we talk about it? Why do we get in our news?
I think it's two reasons, and I've been pondering this myself. One is the salacious nature of... It's like, if you've got neighbours next door that fight on a regular basis, whilst it's a pain in the ass, you to a degree kind of go, oh, they're at it again. So it's a salacious gossip. It's the kind of voyeurism that we do to a degree. There is, however, very definitely a link to an American economy that's in a state of flux and the rest of the world's economies that fall in line. This country specifically, we are so inextricably linked to America since the Olympics. It's what we're talking about this morning. When I came here in 1994 and Australia had its own personality and it was somewhat of a backwater, it was an awesome place. It was great. It had its problems. It was very Americanized, but it wasn't American control. When I came back in 2006, it's not the same country. Changed. Totally. Gone entirely. It had monetized itself post the Olympics. Everyone overseas went, my God, what an awesome place. And that's when the banking deregulation happened. Basically, there were only four banks in Australia prior to 1998-99. And then literally in 2000, once the Olympics kicked off and everything, you got all this massive influx of international banks, ING, Citibank, everything. They all came here and they boosted the Australian economy because they all started selling cheap mortgages. And then you got old, what's his name, old John Simons, who started Aussie Home Loans and became a billionaire off of it because he just emulated the same thing. He's an ex-Citibanker. It's the same thing. He just realized, hang on, if I brand it as it's Aussie, but it's the same product that the Americans are selling, I'll make billions. And he was right.
So you reckon we're interested in the elections because of voyeurism?
I think to a degree we are, because in some ways, it's the cult of personality, you know? Like, can you tell me what policies does Harris stand for?
I don't know.
Doesn't have any. The only policy that I can really think that Trump stands for is border control. Let's be honest, that's what most people would go, oh, he doesn't want the border closed. He might have other policies around, I'm going to get America great again, but the truth is the minutiae of detail, very, very few people know. And look at old Avi Yemeni lately. You know, he's on his RV tour throughout the US at the moment. You see the interviews that he has with people. Why would you vote for Harris? Because she's pro-female. Okay, but what are her policies? I don't know. I just don't like Trump. So what you extrapolate from all of that at the end of the day is very simply, the reason that America is in a state of flux is because people don't like Donald Trump's persona. They love his politics, but they won't vote for him because they think that he's a fascist. Like, well, how is he a fascist? He hasn't had any comments. Oh, no, but he's stopping Roe v. Wade, the decision on the right for abortion. So then you go, no, he hasn't. What he said was let the states decide. It's not for the federal government to decide whether or not abortion is legal or illegal. Let the states decide. That's why we have the United States with their own things. Oh, no, the government. You go, hang on a second. That's controlling. That's the opposite. If you're talking about diversity and inclusion, and you're a leftist, and you want there to be a blanketed mandate that abortion is fully legal, how is that equitable? That's controlling the whole narrative. So, but they have created this persona around Trump. Trump bad man, orange man bad, you know the statement? The whole thing?
Yeah.
And yet black woman good. Yet when you listen to Kamala Harris, and what Weinstein said the other day, he said, be very careful. Kamala's not as stupid as you think. She could very, very well be doing the Paris Hilton. You know, Paris Hilton led everyone to believe that she was the dumb blonde.
Well, I'm stopping there because I don't know where it goes from here. I can't remember my whole conversation. But I don't think we talk about anything that shouldn't be spoken about. But just for safety, because I have friends all over the show and I don't want to offend anyone. And this is, after all, the Banana Republic. And I'm your benevolent dictator. So I hope you didn't mind me throwing in my morning conversation over a coffee table. Just, it goes that way and it goes this way. And I love them. They're lots of fun and had a great walk. This wasn't meant to be anything special. Yeah, Quentin, I hear you, buddy. I don't know what it's all about, and as you could hear there, I have very little knowledge, but it's just interesting that everyone around the globe is interested in what's going on in the U.S., as if we can make any difference. All right, let me throw some tunes in, I've actually quite enjoyed doing this, and I've got lots and lots of stuff that I've been saving up for my friends on radio. But where I'm awful is actually lining up my ducks and doing something. And I thought the three shows I listened to before my time slot were so interesting. I thought it would be unfair of me not to throw in a bit and just say something. So the Banana Republic, it's I got 10 minutes left, and on that note I shall, if my goodies all look okay, I shall put some tunes out. Oops, not where am I going? Where is my tunes? Let's stop this goodie McGody. We'll stop that. And we will press this button, which ought to make some sounds. Where is it? See, this is why I don't like doing live shows, because I fumble and fart. I don't do live very well. I do fun conversations with friends very well. hey, on that note, though, a friend took me down to one of the theatres, the Tivoli, down in Brisbane, and we watched Kim Wilde live. And it was her first show in Australia since 2017. She landed in Brisbane the night before, and she was so lovely. And I had, I went up to the into the mosh pit, and I went to the front of the mosh pit, and I was right up in the front. Oh, there were two girls in front of me leaning against the rail, the stage rail or the barrier, and I was squeezed in between them, so I was 6 inches from the barrier. So I was in front of the front, and I had a perfectly good view, and I was right in front of Kim. And she was lovely. She sang all her old favorites and my favorites and everyone's favorites. And behind me, a large audience and a grandstand, people in the gallery. And the Aussies were just loving it. So, yeah, it was really nice. Very, very, very nice. A fun day. I'd love to do another one of those. And on the way back, my friend Paul, whom I have played on the show a lot, and he has some stunning stories to tell, he was like, Rolls, we need to go to another concert. And he started rattling off names like Led Zeppelin, and I'm not really, well, to be honest, I don't know what songs they play, so I suppose if I looked into it I'd recognize them, but it just, if it hasn't rung my bell at this late stage, I that's so, you know, sometimes just going to a show, you kind of like go like, wow, I had no idea, this is great. So maybe I will. Another option was Soft Cell. They're playing in Brisbane in a few months' time, I think. And that would be fun, just for fun, to see what, you know, they get up to and what they do. And all right. Let's find my playlist. What else can I tell you? Summer's well and truly here in Australia. Really beautiful, fun sunshine. And the ocean has warmed up. It's always a bit cool in the beginning of summer, and then just gets better and better and better and better and better. And it's at that stage now, so here goes. Let's just make sure these things are right. I reckon if I press this, it's just going to do exactly what it should do. Yep, that stopped. That's on. And got to practice this a lot more. Where was that song I had? Here it is. Oh dear. What am I doing? Oh well, let's drop this down. Let's fade me out and let's fade this back in. You've got a cute way of talking. You've got the better of me. That is actually Leo Sayer, and.